Da fortsetter vi. Så som jeg nevnte det, for noen få år siden så fikk vi til et PhD-prosjekt der vi samarbeidet med den tyske CICERT, som betjener universitetene og forskningsinstitusjoner. Det er det som DFN står for, Deutsches Forschungsnetzwerk, tysk forskningsnettverk. Og det er modellen som, hva sa du nå? Well, I was speaking Norwegian again, sorry. So a few years ago we had a research project, a PhD project, where Johannes Wieg developed a system dynamics model for the DFN CERT. DFN is the German Research Network, Deutsches Forschungsnetzwerk. And we had a very, very good cooperation with them. The leader of this DFN CERT had been at Carnegie Mellon for a while. So if you look at the documents, here, that I put you, oops, what happened? I lost it. That's dangerous. There should be a possibility of, if I what? This here? Here.
Just right-click.
Right-click. Okay.
Try right-clicking and,
I am doing that, but nothing happens.
On the tab.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. I'm learning new things later. Okay. If you look at this, the second name, Klaus Peter Kosakowski. This guy, he's German. He was working at Carnegie Mellon. He returned to Germany and founded the DFN CERT. And that's the reason why we got a cooperation with him. We had first a cooperation with Carnegie Mellon, and I spent some time in Pittsburgh working with them. Then when we needed data for the CERT, they said, okay, you should talk to Klaus Peter Kosakowski. This we did, and he got very, very interested. So if you look at this model here, then this is an adapted version to CERTs, where you see the element of the Repenning and Sturmans model. So for instance, you see here the working harder loop, B2, it's here. You see the working smarter loop, you see it here. You see the cutting corners or shortcuts, that's here. You see the reinvesting loop, it's here. But in addition, you see the possibility of allocating more resources, expanding the budget, that is here. And you see a trick that the CERTs use when they got more and more incidents to handle, then they had simply to skip information. They were not able to pursue all the incidents, so they skip information as a way of being able to doing something. So they had to prioritize which incidents to deal with. In practice, it was not because of the importance of the incidents, it was more related to the clients. The clients that they were serving, they were some of them, they were very active and claim response. Others, they sent in information and forgot about it. Then under less pressure to handle those incidents, they were ignored. So if you don't have enough resources and you have too much to do, then you have to you have simply to suppress doing some things. That was happened. So it was a model with the important information that we got from the CSERTs and with the data that we got from them. When we simulated, you can see how well the data that we got was able to be simulated with the model. So in the diagram at the top, first diagram, you see the simulation for the low priority attacks. Again, low priority attacks are those that have happened before, and where the CSERT in principle knows then and knows how to handle them, so they are quickly done. Then you have the high priority attacks, the next one. High priority, they are new, and because they are new, they are more serious. Then you have the third curve from the top, is about the recruitment, the total workforce and the CSERTs, where we had also some data that allowed us to model that. And there at the bottom, you have the workforce that was dealing with incidents, the reactive workforce are modeled, and the real data. The next set of slides simulates and compares with information that occurs over the years. And we have three diagrams. The diagram on the top is about resources allocated to response improvement, the red line. The green line is effort to develop, to work smart. And you see it starts and then it goes down. The CSERT was not able to sustain working smart. And the reason is the brown curve, where you see the gap of workload. The reason why they couldn't sustain the working smart was simply that they were getting more and more and more workload that was not done. Then the second curve gives you the reporting rate for low priority, simulated and real. No, sorry. The reporting is the green, the red is the response. And you see a gap again. The CSERT was not able to respond as much as were reported. And then the third one, you see the declining quality of response. To begin with, they had plenty of hours per person per incident. Then, as with increasing incidents, they are dedicating less and less and less and less time. And of course, the quality suffers. You are having the problem of the overworked investigators that we had in the first examination project. So that's real. So here you see the comment. You see how the effort per incident has been decreased. And in the difference between the green and the red curve illustrate the skipping of information effect, that is, one couldn't simply deal with all the incidents that were reported. The response was lagging more and more under the reported. So the difference between the green and the red curve is how many incidents that couldn't be handled. They had to be ignored. And in the top, they tried to develop a tool to become better, but they had to simply give up because of it making shortcuts to deal That shows the importance of the shortcut balancing loop. That is, forgetting about improvement because you have too many incidents to deal with, you have to work hard, and in the end, the whole effort to work smart breaks down. So the workload pressure is too high, and the increasing cutting corners, which is the other name for the shortcuts loop, frustrates the effort to work smarter. So, some important conclusions. It is very important to improve the quality for security, but this requires better data. There's a strong similarity to traditional quality improvement processes, but in case of security, the pressure to perform increases more and more because of the severity and increasing number of incidents, so it's more difficult task. And that's the reason why CISERTs today still deal with chronic problems that are unresolved. Questions? Does it make sense to you, Steinar? In many areas of security, you have this situation that one cannot work smart enough because simply there is too much to do, too much pressure, too many clients asking for some. Okay, so that was the second this lecture. Let's have a look at here. And this we don't need. This we don't need. This we don't need. This we need. Say it again. The map. You mean this one? You get the map. Yes. Yes, I have to install the Adobe Flash Player. That's why I don't see that. I have to do in the break. How many certs are for Norway? There, is it only one or two? Nine in Norway, no? Oh. Hmm. Hmm. Okay. No, that's. I am amazed that there are so many in Norway, but that's a good sign because this global forum is a very good one, and they can give important information. What we could do is have a look at the cert. Software Engineering Institute, Carnegie Mellon University, and let's see for CERT what it says. So you see they help in creating CERTs, incident management, and they have a lot about what skills are needed and so on. But I cannot see that they have a revised version of the state of the practice. Let's see what happens. No, there's simply there are no new studies. The they haven't. Let me see if we look at Gilchrist, Sissert. This one could be a link. So there are a lot of, you see, here, it's still here. Hornbook from Computer Security Incident Response, 2003 Hornbook, and so on. So, nothing has been developed in terms of studies or so since 2003 because it hasn't changed. They are unresolved problems. Okay, so the next theme is long-term instability in the constituency and high-priority workloads and CERTs. So the high priority incidents, they are quite special. They have a different behavior than the long term, than the low priority. And Johannes Wieck discovered a number of interesting things when he did his PhD, and that's what I'm going to look at. So we look here at the special problems that high priority incidents cause in CERTs. Whereas we ignore the low priority incidents that are known kind of incidents and that are typically port scans, span complaints and so on. The first thing is that when there are serious incidents, new kind of incidents, then the reports can come also from organizations outside of the CERT. So even if the if you consider as a case the German research network, CERT, the one where we did the study, so they could get reports about attacks of high priority that could come from the United States or from Austria or from Australia, or you name it, because it seemed as the incidents were originated or at least they were propagated from members of the CERT. So instead of only dealing with your clients, you have also to attend those who are not your clients but who report, hey, this attack is coming from one of your clients. Of course, because they have botnets and so on, they have been used for that. Now, when you look at the number of incidents of high priority, the data seem to indicate that you have first an increase that tops to a maximum, then it goes down and then starts going up again. So it seems to oscillate. And from the point of view of the CERT, what kind of behavior would you like to see in the future? Were these perhaps expected oscillations? What perhaps one would prefer was a stable number rather than a decline. decline will mean losing funding. Oscillations, they are problematic because then you can get fluctuating funding as well. You would perhaps prefer to have a stable situation. But we have first to understand what is this, why are we seeing first an increase and then kind of a collapse and then oscillations? And what can the CSETs do so as to influence the behavior? So this shows simply a slide as to why, how we create a simulation model. You have a real world case. The information that we have is from the bottom, numerical data from measurements, reports, number two, but also the mental models, that is the knowledge that the people have that is in their heads, and which very often is essential in order to be able to create a good model of the problem. What we achieve by creating simulation models is that we can explain what is happening. The simulated behavior should be a good explanation of what we are seeing in practice. And this can lead to more understanding, improved mental models. Perhaps it can lead to changes in the way the system is managed with new goals and better policies. The model was created with a Norwegian tool which is called SMIA, and that is developed by the company Dynaplan. The company Dynaplan was founded by Magne Myrtvedt. And Magne Myrtvedt and myself and Lars Babik, we had created PowerSim in 1987. And when we left PowerSim, I was State of University, and Magne Myrtvedt did a PhD under my supervision, where he developed a new simulation tool. And this is an object-oriented simulation tool, SMIA. It uses slightly different symbols for the stocks, for the flows, and so on, but they are so similar to VenSim that there shouldn't be problems in seeing them. And I will give you an opportunity to create the simulation model yourself. And I will upload a previous examination project to Fronter that will challenge you to create that simulation model. So the model shows the following. The clients of the CSETs, they fluctuate. You get new clients, and they start by reporting sporadically, and some of them leave, others they become frequent reporters, and they can perhaps leave after a while, depending on your interest. In SMIA, they are used colors that allow you also to see the units. So the green here, dark green, is the number of sites reportings. The middle dark green. The very light green is the sites per year report that are attracted or leave. The reason why we see a beginning, an increase in number of sites, we assume that is because there is a reinforcing loop by word of mouth. When it is seen as an advantage to be members of the CSET, because incidents are reported and dealt with, then this attracts new clients. And this leads to this increase. But then, it's the question of the service quality. And it has to do with the capacity of the CSATs. The capacity is the staff and the resources. And if they are doing well, then this helps keeping attracting reporter sites that we are doing sporadically to become frequent reporters. We call this first-hand service quality, but there is a second-hand service quality perception from hearsay. So those who aren't yet clients of the CSAT hear from others that the CSAT is doing a good service, so they enter as reporters, first sporadically. And this leads to an increase that becomes slower and slower, because as you're getting more and more clients, and you don't have a similar increase in staff, in tools, then the quality of service starts declining. When the quality of service starts declining, then you don't attract clients as well as before, and you even start losing clients. When you start losing clients, then the capacity and the quality of service starts improving again, because you're having less work. And therefore, you can expect that you get, again, more reporters. So the idea is that these oscillations are due to the fact that you are having up and downs in the quality of service. But this causes problems, these oscillations, because it's very difficult to plan. Either you have too much to do, or you have too little to do. It's going up and down. And that's a situation that you don't like so very much. So is there a possibility of stabilizing the workload? So we simulated, and you can see here how well our simulation model is able to show this pattern. We could also project that in the future. The numbers that we use here, they are normalized. So they are not exact numbers, they are normalized. And that's again one of the problems you have. The owners of the CSAT say, no, we don't want you to publish the exact numbers because that's sensitive information. So you have to normalize the numbers so that they are nobody can see the exact numbers, just the patterns. These curves show you the perceived versus the actual quality of service. The actual quality of service is this one here. The perceived one is the red one, oops, here. And because there is a delay in perception, it's lagging behind the actually quality of service. So the violet one is the actual quality, the green one is the one perceived by those clients that are reporting, whereas the red one, which is even more delayed, is those perceived by potential reporters, potential clients. And this is even more lagging behind, because that's not a first-hand perception, it's not something that you are experiencing. That is the perception of what others perceive. So it's a second-hand perception. So the historical behavior is like this. Suppose you want to stabilize that. so that you don't have these problems with either too much workload or too low workload? How can you achieve that? Well, suppose you give more staff. If you have more staff, then you should be able to deal with more incidents. What happens by adding more staff? Well, this was the original problem. Now you get the same problem, it's become worse. This is kind of counterintuitive. Why is it like this? The reason is simply you can climb higher, but sooner or later you meet the limits as well. You're getting more and more clients, you are getting more and more reports, and you have doubled the staff, but you cannot continue doubling. There are no resources. So in the end, declining quality of service, and you have a higher peak, but a higher fall as well. So doubling the staff makes the problem, in a sense, worse. Another way is, suppose you could reduce the perception times, the time it takes to perceive how well the CSERT is performing. And now you see this curve. Indeed, it is much more stable. So theoretically, if you could reduce the perception times, then you would get a much more stable situation for the CSERT. But Steiner, how would you decrease the perception times in a CSERT? The perception time is the time it takes for the clients to notice if the quality of service is good or bad. And for those who are not yet clients, to hear about the quality of the CSERT. Suppose you were leading the CSERT, what would you do? Yes, to reduce the perception time. Okay, I will make it a little bit less difficult for you. Do you remember when we spoke about perception? That was a process of delayed information. So when you have perception, information delay was the issue. So you have some input, which is the new information, and you have some output, which is the perceived information, and there is a delay. So, how can you manipulate the delay time, make it half as long, for instance? Exactly. So how can you improve the better communication? Yes. And so how can you improve the communication? What could you do? Suppose you are running the CSERT and you want to have a better communication with the customers, what would you do? How would you invest in what? Yeah, that's, for instance, what Telenor does. Telenor, when they have the incidents, they are very keen on very quickly informing the clients about, not only about the situation, about what Telenor is doing, not only how they are resolving the problem, but how they will improve in the future. So a very sorry, a very mindful strategy of communication with the customer, and you can use for that web pages, you can use SMS, increasingly perhaps social media, and so on. Yes, so the answer, I don't have it at hand, but it is obvious that it, since the perception is about how you get information and how you understand information, that you can do that by offering new channels, improving the channels of communication. And perhaps the CSETs should also be creative and also measure as to the quality of the information, how this is perceived. Because it says that you can see it pays a lot off. Instead of having these severe up and downs that make the CSETs at times overworked, at times underworked, and difficult to fund, because the people who pay for the services, they pay for the quality of the services. So if you're having these dumps here, you get losing a lot of customers, and then it takes time until you get new customers. Okay, so the conclusion is that these oscillations, they relate to long time delays, related to how the customers perceive the quality. And this affects how whether the clients stay in the CSETs or not. And to achieve this stability, adding more resources make it worse. Reducing the perception time for quality of service is very effective, but it's not so easy to achieve in practice, and it requires that the CSETs become better in communicating, and perhaps also consider or measure or experiment with different ways and perhaps new methods of social media. So historically speaking, CSETs have had technical problems, and they still have. And the high priority incidents, the serious incidents, create actually problems that were not so well understood. One of the reasons why was offered for why the CSETs were losing staff was because they were overworked. But the other one, and the reason why it's difficult to stabilize the funding, seems to be that there are these oscillations, and they have to do with the way the quality of service is perceived and how the quality of service is communicated. Okay, so this was the second lecture, and now I have to put into the website the previous projects. Okay, so let me find it first. Okay, I can make it in a break in a moment. So let's take an earlier break now. It's okay to take now half an hour break. so that I can get some coffee and so? Okay. Then let's continue to our half past 12. In the meantime, I can find the previous examination project and